Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 9th day of September. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Paul White. It is such a privilege to get to do this, to get to be a part of your life. Thank you for joining me on the journey through the Word. We are exploring, having a good time asking questions, turning over ideas, wrestling. I'm not trying to get you to land on a particular way of thinking, but I'm trying to help you to think, help you to see that there could be other ways of seeing it and maybe land on some things that bring you life and hope and peace and joy. The purpose of all of our Bible study is not so that we can be saved or be righteous or quote-unquote be closer to God. I think when we study the Word, what we're really trying to do is parcel out some answers by asking a lot of questions, and it's not just questions about spiritualism or the things of the invisible, but really trying to get to the bottom of why we are what we are, why we think the way we think. When we study stuff like the book of Genesis, where we've been for several months now, we're really getting into the depths of why people think the way they think and act the way they act. I think it's a little unfortunate that we've spent so much time in the church in Genesis simply trying to figure out history or only spiritualizing everything that we see in the book of Genesis. I don't know that the writers were trying to put everything in the realm of the spirit. I think they were trying to comprehend things that they saw and figure them out. Now, to do that, they put them into the realm of fantastic story. They put them into the realm. There's talking snakes and there's people eating from trees or disbarred from eating from certain trees, and all of these incredible, fantastic things that happen in the book of Genesis, and they're meant to show us something. I think what we see when we look at Cain, yesterday we talked about the fact that sin as a concept was introduced when Adam and Eve failed, but sin as a word is introduced prior to Cain's fall, Cain's mistake. He hasn't even really done anything yet. He has offered a sacrifice that was not accepted, and God doesn't say he has sinned, but rather sin lies at the door, and the connection of his sin is his anger. He needs to own it. He needs to be responsible for it. What we're to assume, I think, when we read this story is this stuff is happening internally. It would seem to me to be a way to interpret what's going on with Cain as an external sort of immediate example of what was happening to his mother. Remember, Eve gets into a conversation with the serpent and then eats from the wrong tree. Cain gets in a conversation with God, with the Holy Spirit of sorts, and I can't say he eats from the wrong tree, but if we're to take that as a spiritual option, he too is going to eat from the wrong tree. He's going to have a choice to make in regards to how he conducts himself. He's going to make a choice that brings death instead of life. And all of us face this same option. What's really happening to Cain, I think, is that he's battling in his conscience what he's supposed to do. And the fact that he can battle this out on his conscience is because his mother ate and his father ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what they pass to the family of man is the battle of our consciousness. Paul would deal with that conscience in the book of Romans. He would also deal with it in the book of Timothy. Remember, to Timothy, he talks about the last days preachers who were teachers who would have their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that word in the Greek that he uses is actually one single word in the Greek. It gets translated into one big sentence in the English, conscience seared with a hot iron. But it's closer in the Greek to those whose consciences are, who carry a perpetual guilt of sin, a perpetual awareness of sin. In a way, what happens to Adam and Eve, passed down to Cain, has been passed down to so many of us. A perpetual awareness of sin, a continuous consciousness of what's wrong with us, of who we are, and the overwhelming knowledge that we don't have the ability to do anything about it. Now, I'm telling you all of that pre-Calvary, of course, because the Christ story changes all of this for us. When we get to Christ, we have someone taking the sword from the tree of life and having it plunged into themselves so that we can all eat from the tree of life. What's the point of Christ dying on a tree if not to take us in imagery back to a garden so that we can see that the way to the garden has been cleared because the sword has already been plunged into someone else, so it can't be plunged into us. Therefore, whatever conundrum we're in, and man, are we in some, in regards to our conscience or regards to sin or regards to the way we conduct ourselves, those conundrums are solved when we see Christ having the sword plunged into him. So while we're talking about Cain and his struggle with consciousness, it doesn't mean it's the end of the story. Like, okay, well, you're just going to struggle. That's the way it is. No, that's why we put Jesus into the stories, is to realize there is a struggle in our conscience. There is a struggle to do the right thing versus the wrong thing. But we don't have to just close the book and end there and go, well, that's the way it is. No, Christ has conquered sin, has conquered whatever hell we go through, has conquered the death that is an accompaniment of sin. And because Christ has conquered these things, this is the book of Romans, we've been made more than conquerors. What is it we're conquering? And if you just spiritualize that and go, well, we're conquering demons and devils, go, well, what does that look like? Maybe we're conquering this addiction, this bondage to our own consciousness, to our own inability to overcome, can I do the right thing? Am I enslaved to do the wrong thing? And if we're only going to overcome that because someone else is an overcomer. And so with that someone else that is an overcomer, of course, is Christ. Our text, if you do well, you will not be accepted. If you do not well, sin lies at the door. Its desire shall be over you and you shall rule over it. That's verse 7. That's the battle of the consciousness. That's the am I going to rule? Is it going to rule me? And I think the answer is we're going to lose that battle far more than we win it unless we come to a transformation. We need to be new creations. And the answer is, I think, found in the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, that sacrifice in some ways mirrors the death of Abel, another shepherd. But the New Testament propels the death of Christ over the death of Abel. And we'll talk about what that looks like and why that is on tomorrow's podcast. See you then. God bless.